A Christmas Carol in prose.
Being a Ghost Story of Christmas by Charles Dickens.
The end of it.
And the bedpost was his own. The bed was his own. The room was his own. Best and happiest of all, the time before him was his own, to make amends in. He was checked in his transports by the churches ringing out the lustiest peals he had ever heard. Running to the window, he opened it and put out his head. No fog, no mist, no night. Clear, bright, stirring, golden day.
"What's today?" cried Scrooge, calling downward to a boy in Sunday clothes who perhaps had loitered in to look about him.
"Huh?
What's today, my fine fellow?"
"Today? Why, Christmas Day."
"It's Christmas Day? I haven't missed it. Hello, my fine fellow."
"Hello."
"Do you know the poulterer's shop in the next street but one at the corner?"
"I should hope I did."
"An intelligent boy, a remarkable boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging up there? Not the little prize turkey, the big one."
"What, the one as big as me?"
"What a delightful boy. It's a pleasure to talk to him. Yes, my buck?"
"It's hanging there now."
"Is it? Go and buy it."
"Are you joking?" exclaimed the boy.
"No, no, I am in earnest. Go and buy it and tell them to bring it here, that I may give them the direction where to take it. Come back with the man, and I'll give you a shilling. Come back with him in less than 5 minutes, and I'll give you half a crown."
The boy was off like a shot.
"I'll send it to Bob Cratchit. He shan't know who sends it. It's twice the size of Tiny Tim. Joe Miller never made such a joke as sending it to Bob Twilby."
The hand in which he wrote the address was not a steady one, but write it he did, somehow, and went downstairs to open the street door, ready for the coming of the poulterer's man.
It was a turkey. He never could have stood upon his legs, that bird. He would have snapped them short off in a minute, like sticks of sealing wax.
Scrooge dressed himself all in his best, and at last got out into the streets. The people were by this time pouring forth, as he had seen them with the Ghost of Christmas Present. And walking with his hands behind him, Scrooge regarded every one with a delighted smile. He looked so irresistibly pleasant, in a word, that three or four good-humored fellows said, "Good morning, sir. A Merry Christmas to you." And Scrooge said often afterwards that of all the blithe sounds he had ever heard, these were the blithest in his ears. In the afternoon, he turned his steps towards his nephew's house. He passed the door a dozen times before he had the courage to go up and knock. But he made a dash and did it.
"Is your master at home, my dear?" said Scrooge to the girl. "Nice girl, very."
"Yes, sir."
"Where is he, my love?"
"He's in the dining room, sir, with his mistress."
"He knows me," said Scrooge, with his hands already on the dining room lock. "I'll go in there, my dear." "Fred!"
"Why, bless my soul," cried Fred. "Who's that?"
"It's I, your Uncle Scrooge. I have come to dinner. Will you let me in, Fred?"
"Let him in. It's a mercy he didn't shake his arm off. He was at home in 5 minutes. Nothing could be heartier. His niece looked just the same. So did Topper when he came. So did the plump sister when she came. So did everyone when they came. Wonderful party, wonderful games, wonderful unanimity, wonderful happiness. But he was early at the office the next morning. Oh, he was early there. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming late, that was the thing he had set his heart upon."
And he did it. The clock struck 9, no Bob. A quarter past, no Bob. Bob was a full 18 minutes and a half behind his time. Scrooge sat with his door wide open, that he might see him come into the tank.
Bob's hat was off before he opened the door. His comforter, too. He was on his stool in a jiffy, driving away with his pen as if he were trying to overtake 9 o'clock.
"Hello," growled Scrooge, in his accustomed voice, as near as he could feign it. "What do you mean by coming here at this time of day?"
"I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind my time."
"You are? Yes, I think you are. Step this way, if you please."
"It's only once a year, sir. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir."
"Now I'll tell you what, my friend. I am not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. Therefore," Scrooge continued, leaping from his stool and giving Bob such a dig in the waistcoat that he staggered back into the tank again, "and therefore I will raise your salary." Bob trembled and got a little nearer to the ruler. "A Merry Christmas, Bob," said Scrooge with an earnestness that could not be mistaken, as he clapped him on the back. "A merrier Christmas, Bob, my good fellow, than I have given you for many a year. I'll raise your salary and endeavor you to assist your struggling family, and we will discuss your affairs this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop, Bob. Make up the fires and buy a second coal scuttle before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit."
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but his own heart laughed, and that was quite good enough for him. He had no further intercourse with spirits, but lived in that respect upon the total abstinence principle ever afterwards. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us, everyone!
Ding dong, merrily on high, in heaven the bells are ringing. Ding dong, merrily the sky is ringed with angels.
Our dramatic reading of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol is part of the Holy Heresy podcast series and stems from the conversations that begin in our live services on Sunday mornings. Each week we explore the growing edges of theological thought, the exploration of the links between science and religion, the challenges of spiritual practice in 21st century Los Angeles, and most of all, the joys of sharing community in the creative capital of the world. If you enjoy the Holy Heresy podcast series and would like to support these continuing conversations, visit fccla.org/give and follow the prompts. Donations are tax deductible, and all gifts support the social outreach, faith-based exploration, and commitment to the arts that is First Church. This podcast is produced and directed by David Harris and Laura Bell Fragan. A Christmas Carol executive producers include David Harris, Julie Giannata, and Scott Cimbala, with Julie Giannata director, recorded at Massive Music Studios with Patrick Arthur audio mixing. God Rest You Merry Gentlemen is played by Christoph Bull on the great organs, and Ding Dong Merrily on High by Charles Wood, sung by Laude, directed by David Harris. Voice actors for A Christmas Carol in presentation order include Chapter 1, Sammy Smith, Sharon Lawrence, and Michael Zemanek. Chapter 2, Melanie Edmonds. Chapter 3, Lillian Mottram, Jacqueline Mottram, James Mottram, Carlina Mottram, and Petraine Keane. Chapter 4, David Harris and Christoph Bull. Chapter 5, Clara Martin and Bennett Martin. Thank you for your presence here today, where all are welcome.